You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. Come to the site. We've got you ready for Super Bowl 57, breaking it down, Eagles, Chiefs, all kinds of angles there for you, betting, just a breakdown of the game. We'll have a full comprehensive look at that game for the rest of the week after today's show. We're going to wrap up our look at the free agent offensive skill players. We looked at quarterbacks and running backs in our previous two shows. Now we're going to combine wide receivers and tight ends and look at what that market looks like, the players that are likely to stay on their teams, likely to change teams, as well as what happens to those teams in different circumstances there with staying or going at those positions. So a little bit of a fantasy football advanced scouting mode for you as we take a little bit of a break from the Super Bowl, but we'll go all in with Super Bowl 57. We'll have the usual matchup show on Matchup Wednesday where we look at the rankings. We know it's a limited group of players there overall, but quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, how they stack up against the particular defensive players in this game. And we'll have a prediction for you in terms of who covers the spread, who wins straight up, and the game total. And then we'll dive into the prop bets there for the FanDuel Sportsbook on Thursday show, and then we'll close with our DFS look as we always do on Friday, looking at FanDuel cash games, DraftKings tournaments, as well as our prize picks of the week. So a lot of good stuff coming here on Locked On Fantasy Football as we get ahead of Super Bowl 57. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free to be available to you on all platforms. I'm proud to say this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Nissan. The only thing more exciting than the big game is the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. There's only a few days left until the Super Bowl. Are you ready? The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. I'm excited. I've looked at that car and it looks pretty fantastic here. So great to be on board with Nissan here on Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, we'll dive right in. Let's look at the top five free agent wide receivers. According to me, you can check out these free agent rankings there. This is part of the top 50 at sportingnews.com. We also look at the best players by position. So this group of wide receivers will be up there if you need a refresher, and also the tracking of when these guys potentially get signed or re-signed here going forward this offseason. All right, one guy I don't think is going to be re-signed is Jacoby Myers. He's been the Patriots' number one receiver by default here of late because they really haven't found much else. They've flashed Nelson Agholor. We've seen a little bit of Kendrick Bourne. We haven't seen too much of N'Keal Harry to the point he's no longer a Patriot here. So they've really needed Jacoby Myers to step up. He's been pretty reliable. We know the biggest thing with him was catching all those balls in the slot and the versatility of his route running and hands. But the thing that was missing for a long time was the touchdowns. Then he started to score, and then he liked scoring. And he was a pretty consistent available player there for Mac Jones in the red zone. So Jacoby Myers just turned into their go-to guy. Now, the Patriots also had Jacoby Myers have that little flub against the Raiders that cost them that game, if you remember that, with Chandler Jones returning the last fumble there to let the Raiders win in regulation. So that was definitely something fresh on this team's mind a little bit with that mental mistake. So Bill Belichick can be fickle with his receivers in general, but I would think that Myers would want to test the market given that he has a good value and reliable hands here as a slot receiver dedicated. So he's also got some nice size there, so gives him a team's a unique target. So maybe a team like the Chiefs, if they're looking now that they know what worked and didn't work with Patrick Mahomes, could look at Jacoby Myers. I think he'll end up on a good team. I think also the Packers might be a possibility. They have some free agent issues that wide receiver we'll talk about here. And maybe the 49ers might look at him as a third option there because they could be moving on from their depth behind Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. So you look at Jacoby Myers, jumping ahead to Juju here, But he is a versatile player. He catches the ball everywhere. And I think he's kind of like an Adam Thielen in that sense, is that he can go inside, outside. Thielen made his living scoring a lot of touchdowns, and that connection is really what keeps him going as a high scorer for Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. But Myers can be that type of player. And look, the Patriots got as much as they could out of him. He was a sleeper pick by them and really converted him well here in their system. So now that Josh McDaniels is gone, does he end up there with the Raiders and play off Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfrow? That's another thing to watch out for as well, because Myers did his best overall work in McDaniels' offense. A lot of things to look at there. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster, he'll play in the Super Bowl. Looks like he'll fight through his injury to go there and play and try to be a valuable contributor for Patrick Mahomes. He has been already, almost pushing 1,000 yards. It was more flashy and platoon-based here for the uses of Juju Smith-Schuster in fantasy football. Now, we know back in the day with the Steelers, he was a massive contributor and had big year. Maybe he can go back to Pittsburgh. Remember, that team traded Chase Claypool as the big slot. So if the bridges aren't burned there and Juju feels like he can come back and be a contributor, I think you can watch out for him. But he's a guy right now that, again, big slot is probably his role. He had those big plays that he made early in his career playing off Antonio Brown in single coverage. He's not suited to be kind of the number one receiver, but a complimentary guy that you can look at opposite a field stretcher. So you also look at the Ravens. That could be a possibility if Rashad Bateman comes back healthy and they got Devin Duvernay to stretch the field. So we'll just have to see where it plays out with Smith-Schuster. But again, I think Myers at this stage is a better receiver with a little bit more touchdown upside than Juju. And also, Myers also not having as many injury issues and being able to play through them. Smith-Schuster's had those pop up here in the last few seasons, dating back to his slowdown time with the Steelers for the last couple of years and then going in to the Chiefs. So we'll see, but again, Juju kind of tells you where the market's at if he's number two on the board. Now, Alan Lazard was scoring a lot of touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers. Does he follow Rodgers potentially if Rodgers changes addresses? Does he have a role with the Jets potentially if they're done with Corey Davis and put him in with Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore? Does that work, having that big guy there? We saw what happened there in Green Bay when he was trying to help the youngsters Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs. So maybe you have Rodgers end up with the Jets and he lobbies to get Lazard there as a third receiver. So something to look at there. And I automatically would think he's kind of more number two playing off Garrett Wilson. He would have a lot of value given the familiarity. We also know that Nathaniel Hackett's there, so that could be a good transition for Lazard regardless of if Aaron Rodgers ends up there. So that's something to watch out. I can also see him end up in Denver, complementing Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. If Jeudy plays in the slot, they can interchange him with Lazard and play him on the outside. This is the post-Hackett offense in Denver with Sean Payton and that coaching staff. So there's a lot of potential for Aaron Lazard in free agency. The Raiders are going to pop up for all these guys. I also could see Lazard fitting nicely in the Patriots if they want to go in that direction versus Myers. So I think he was a little bit inconsistent, but he was a key scoring threat for Aaron Rodgers for much of the season. He's got a big body, 6'3", 6'4", can catch most things. So, again, three very similar receivers at the top of the rankings now. All right, number four, DJ Chark. Pretty good year for the Lions, but they could move on. They do have Jameson Williams now fully healthy to complement their number one Pro Bowler, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So St. Brown and Williams could be the guys going forward. We'll see what they do. Maybe they can save money and go with Josh Reynolds again. Or do they say, okay, Chark was a key part of what we want to do at times and it is a good guy to have. Then we can put St. Brown consistently in the slot and have Chark play opposite Williams and have a couple guys who can stretch the field. Chark has also proved to be a good red zone threat at times, going back to his days with the Jaguars. So DJ Chark comes up here as number four, and I think he has some value depending on where he ends up. We know he's not going to be back in Jacksonville with that team adding Calvin Ridley with its young receiving core, but Chark could have some value. Maybe it's in a place like Carolina, and they need some help there for DJ Moore on the other side. So you have DJ Moore and DJ Chark. So it'd be kind of interesting in that combination. So Chark is a valuable guy, but I see him more as an outside number two for where he goes. Now, this is a player that really intrigues me. I could see him being a future Patriot. I could see him being a future Raider. I could see a lot of possibilities for this player as well as Paris Campbell. I think if this kid stays healthy and if he's used properly with his open field quickness, watch out for Campbell really racking up the catches. Does he end up somewhere in it? Like Atlanta, where you would play off of Kyle Pitts and Drake London and be the third target there. So something to look at there with Paris Campbell. Does he stay in Indianapolis with the changing potential of the quarterback situation? Does he go to, say, Houston and have some volume opportunity if that team decides to move on from Brandon Cooks and looks at Campbell that way? So there's a lot of intriguing possibilities for Paris Campbell, especially in the volume section. So PPR leagues, yardage, I don't think he's going to be a big touchdown scorer, but we saw his big play potential when given the chance and on the field for the Colts. And I think he can build into that. I think it would behoove him to leave the Colts because you have Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce probably being the top receivers there. So Campbell can really be treated as a busy slot elsewhere. And really excited to see where Campbell lands because I've always liked his talent coming out of Ohio State. All right, those are the top five free agent wide receivers, according to me, on sportingnews.com. You can check out all the free agent rankings, the top 50, as well as the best players by position at sportingnews.com. We will get into the rest of the wide receivers that are on the board that are notable. We did have one leave that pool with their retirement. We'll also mention that as we get into our second segment here on the show. Before we do that, we will have your prize picks of the week for Super Bowl 57. That'll come when we talk DFS on Friday's show. So we're still contemplating what the best way to go is, and we'll have a better indication of that as we break down the game for you. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You can make entries of Prize Picks very easily. You're not competing against other players, just versus the player projections available. And you're just going more or less. And if the 2 to 6 players you pick score more or less than their price projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. Again, we'll look in depth at what you want to do with Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts in terms of passing yardage and rushing yardage, and then diving into Isaiah Pacheco, Miles Sanders, as well as, of course, Travis Kelce, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and the other receivers there. So it's a lot of fun. Prize Picks offers projections for any sport that you watch. It's not just the NFL and the Super Bowl, but we know NBA and NHL are in their hot part of the season here as they've just turned the corner from around the All-Star break. You have a lot of college basketball, so pre-March Madness to get into in February with the frenzy there. So a lot of good action to check out there at Prize Picks across sports. Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe and fast withdrawals, you can expect. And Prize Picks currently operational in more than 30 states and Canada. It's easy to get in on Prize Picks now. Download the Prize Picks app or go to PrizePicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports ahead of the Super Bowl. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON and sign up for an instant deposit match worth up to $100. That's only at PrizePicks.com with that promo code LOCKEDON. All right, it is time to continue the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We're looking at the free agent class of wide receivers and tight ends. We got through the top five wideouts here for who will become available when the new league year starts March 15th, 2023. Mecole Hardman next on the list. Another Chief is on the radar here. So Hardman pretty much didn't get his opportunity to be a starting receiver without Tyreek Hill. They've done it by committee, mainly with Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling there with his big play, Sky Moore getting some opportunity, and Kadarius Toney also kind of taking over that role since coming over in the trade with the Giants. So they're definitely going to move on from Mecole Hardman. They can use Toney in the return game as well. They've got some depth of receiver. So Hardman's had a good run. I think he could be special in certain offenses. He's a good, versatile player. Maybe he could be the future, maybe a Cordarrelle Patterson type. I think that's the hybrid type of player he is, so watch out for him and the versatility being more of an asset elsewhere. I think he just gets lost in the crowd with the Chiefs. It's been the case when they had Hill. It's been the case after they traded Hill with Kelce and their wide receiver by committee and also involving Jerick McKinnon out of the backfield. Next up is Richie James. He's a smaller slot, and he did have some moments for the Giants, the former 49ers receiver, so we'll see. They might keep him there. We'll see about him and Isaiah Hodgins. They're definitely going to move on from, you would expect, Kenny Galladay after they traded Toney last season. So there's a lot of things to watch out for the Giants' reshuffled receiving core. And Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard are also free agents here. So that really opens the door for some big remix, or maybe they want to bring back James as he had a decent chemistry with Daniel Jones this season. Marvin Jones and Julio Jones. So Marvin Jones still can get it done in situations here, but limited receiver, we're not looking at him as more than a number three or number four depth play at this stage in his career as he's bounced around several teams here. So it's a long shot maybe for him to have another key role on another team. So, but Marvin Jones, pretty decent run with the Jaguars, needed him, just not a lot of big numbers there with the infusion of other talent at wide receiver, including Christian Kirk. Julio Jones, I don't know if he's going to see another place to play here after the Buccaneers. Tom Brady, that appeal is gone as Brady is retired. We just had his contemporary from the 2011 draft, A.J. Green, Adriel Jeremiah Green, is hanging up here. No more play for him beyond the longtime career with the Bengals. They'll get him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well as the Cardinals. Julio will join him in Canton someday, so nothing left to prove here with the Bucs without Brady. So he'll move on. We'll see where he can land. It took a while for him to remember latch on to the Bucs last year after the end of the time with the Titans. So this could be it. Same kind of a drop-off for Jones as we've seen with Green that headed him into retirement. So Quintoris Lopez Jones could join Adriel Jeremiah hanging up and waiting for their call for Canton in 5 years. All right, how about DeMarcus Robinson? Made a few flash plays for the Ravens. We'll see if they keep him. There was some decent chemistry with Tyler Huntley and with Lamar Jackson, assuming they bring him back, and we'll be 50-50 on that one, really. So when you look at that, DeMarcus Robinson, however, is still a journeyman, and I don't know if they'll go with him there. And Baltimore really needs to maybe focus on wide receiver. They could definitely look at one in the first round of the draft or one of these situational guys, as I mentioned above here, being higher in the rankings. Odell Beckham Jr. didn't get much of a call here. The Cowboys thought about him, but that injury with the knee, a little bit concerning that it's a second major knee injury. Didn't get an opportunity after getting hurt in the Super Bowl for the Rams while winning it there. So that is definitely concerning. So Beckham also could be done with his career. So crazy that you think A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, these were some top fantasy football performers at the same time, along with Antonio Brown. All these guys could be done with the league here in 2023. DeAndre Carter had his moments with the Chargers filling in, and I think he's a decent slot, some versatility in the return game, so he could be an option crossing over from the Chargers to the Chiefs in the division. So I do like some of the upside DeAndre Carter. He's a little bit like Paris Campbell, just a little bit older and experienced, but Campbell being the more explosive player, so we'll see where he lands up. Juwan Jennings, notable, he's a free agent, so one less mouth to feed there in San Francisco, potentially coming up with Danny Gray stepping up on the depth chart behind Ayuk and Samuel there. So that's something we want to watch with Jennings being out of the mix, and that could lead into whether it's Trey Lance or Brock Purdy quarterback next year, that you really focus on the big three of Samuel, Ayuk, and tight end George Kittle for this passing game with those young quarterbacks. Mac Hollins, the Raiders outside number two, complementing Davante Adams and Hunter Renfro in the slot. He's a free agent, so we'll see where he ends up. Hollins had some moments there with the Raiders, but he's not a priority at all for them. We mentioned Darius Slayton out there for the Giants. Trent Sherfield, he was making the plays as the Dolphins' third receiver, as their other acquisition with Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson from the Cowboys, didn't do all that much. He was banged up for a lot of the year. They didn't really factor in a third receiver in their production at all. It was mostly Hill and Waddle there for Mike McDaniel in Miami with Tua Tagovailoa and then Teddy Bridgewater. But Sherfield being out of there takes away one more mouth and maybe even more domination from Hill and Waddle, unless Wilson can show something with health and production here this season. Chris Moore, by default, he was the leading receiver for the Texans late in the season when both Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks was on the shelf. I would not say that you're looking at more being more than just a guy at this point. So I think it was a flash. We're going to track him and see that the Texans might be remixing the receiving core, but that's about it. Nelson Agholor, as well as Jacoby Myers, is a free agent. Agholor had a decent season catching passes for the Patriots, but we know Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, this receiver core has just been kind of makeshift. I think they have to commit to it. So the best thing for the Patriots might be just cleaning house and move on from some of these patchwork veterans, including Agholor, Myers, and their latest addition to that mix, Devontae Parker. And then Randall Cobb, also free agent for the Packers. So whether it's Aaron Rodgers or not, and they transition to Jordan Love, it could be very young receivers there if Cobb and Lazard move on. And it's a lot of Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs there for Green Bay. So it's definitely something to watch there with that situation. If it makes it clear that those guys are co-number ones there, the second-year players with a lot of big playability. And Watson would have a lot of appeal potentially as a wide receiver one, and Dubs as a wide receiver two if that played out in Green Bay, regardless if it was Aaron Jones or Jordan Love. All right, so there's a look at the wide receivers that round out the most notable guys that are in the free agent list. There's a lot more wide receivers available than that, but that shows you how limited the well is this year. If you're not looking for a big slot, you might be out of luck here with some of the options, and just focus on a lot of the talent in the draft for these teams. And we're excited about the draft class, by the way, with receivers such as Jordan Addison, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Quentin Johnston. So really good players that are on the way here that could alter the way that teams look at wide receivers in free agency as well. All right, we'll close looking at the tight ends. And there's a lot of notable tight ends here that should hit the market. So we'll explore that in our final segment on this free agent preview episode of Locked On Fantasy Football. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try Built Bar. We've got just through the holidays, barely, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier coming out of it. It's now into February from January. If you're like me and you want to eat healthier and don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got the thing for you. You just got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. It's perfect for your New Year's resolution to come through 1 month later. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 1% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors such as churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy for you. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Hit your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up to a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, make sure you run in and grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors including brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later and check it out. Built Bars available at Built.com and now at your local Walmart and Sam's Club stores. All right, let's close the show looking at the notable tight ends here available in free agency. Dalton Schultz, he's going to be moving on from the Cowboys. I know they may want to try to keep him here. He played under the franchise tag this year, but they have really good depth. And between Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot, it wouldn't make sense for the Cowboys to want to go this direction. They also don't have Kellen Moore, for whom Schultz produced really well the past two seasons. So they're transitioning to Mike McCarthy's offense. So more traditional West Coast principles, does that help Schultz? Or are they okay moving on with Ferguson and Hendershot with their versatility for playing 12 personnel next year? So something to look at, but Dalton Schultz could be on the move. There's a lot of teams that want that tight end impact there this season. So again, any team that doesn't have that key tight end element in their offense is probably going to look at Dalton Schultz. And a little bit of a slurge, so you look at the Titans, they've been looking for a tight end, so that would make sense. They could look at Schultz or Michael Mayer in the draft. Mayer in the draft would be the big alternative there, as well as a Dalton Kincaid of Utah to a lesser degree. So you got two guys that can potentially start right away there. So Schultz, a very good red zone threat, as we've seen, can also be reliable, work in the middle of the field. So I think you'll get a lot of interest here from a lot of limited passing games. I could also see him come up in Detroit there. The Lions did trade T.J. Hockenson to the Vikings, so that gives them a potential replacement option to keep that offense explosive and give Jared Goff his type of receiver. So I love Dalton Schultz here to be a well-rounded guy and maintain some production as a tight end one wherever he goes. And I pretty sure he won't be in Dallas here in 2023. Evan Engram should return to the Jaguars. They don't really have a lot of free agent issues, so Engram is one of the guys that they can re-sign the cheap. He had a pretty good year, we know, playing off Christian Kirk and helping Trevor Lawrence in year two in the Doug Peterson press Taylor offense. So they should want to keep Engram, and that's where I expect him to be. You also have Hayden Hurst. The Bengals got a pretty good year from him, replacing CJ Uzama. And Drew Sample, by the way, is also a free agent behind Hurst. So they could look at different things here. And we have Hurst being a bit of a journeyman. He started his career on the Ravens, was productive for the Falcons, and pretty decent for the Bengals here in catching passes. So he was a key part of what they want to do. Do they look in Dallas and potentially have him complement one of those younger tight ends to replace Schultz? Something to look at with Hayden Hurst. So many things to consider. You also look at the Panthers. They haven't really had that key target at tight end. Does it come through here with Frank Reich wanting those tight end sets to be more frequent? So I think Hayden Hurst could be on the move here. The Bengals will try to keep him, I think, just because he's a little bit reliable. He knows the offense well and connects with Joe Burrow. So I'd say it's about 60-40 that he stays in Cincinnati. Evan Engram about 90-10, and we're going to go Schultz leaving the Cowboys. I'm pretty sure of that. So I think there's only a 25% chance Schultz stays. Mike Gesicki should also be on the move. We thought they might want to treat him as the next George Kittle in the Mike McDaniel offense. Well, they just faded him. He pretty much was a red zone one-trick guy, and he also had to split that role with Durham Smythe. So I don't think there's any reason to pay Gesicki that high market value here. So Gesicki could be an option to cross over and go to New England as well. And I think he would fit there. He fits the profile of what they're looking for in a tight end, and staying in the division and maybe getting a little revenge there might help Gesicki as they go in the Bill O'Brien system. And remember, Bill O'Brien was at Penn State because Gesicki was at Penn State, so that would be a really interesting fit here. And really, the Patriots want to rebuild that. And O'Brien also ran that famous two tight end set that involved Rob Gronkowski. And I'm not saying Gesicki is going to be Gronkowski, but landing him in New England, there's something to look out for. They could change things. And Jonu Smith and Hunter Henry haven't been all that healthy, so you could see a Henry-Gesicki combo. That could be something you deliver, and maybe the Patriots move on from Jonu Smith. So there's a lot of things to look at here. And then, of course, you look at, do they need a little bit of depth behind Darren Waller? And you have the Josh McDaniel situation, so you could end up with the Patriots' former offensive coordinator. And a lot of possibilities here for Gesicki going forward here to land on a decent team and be rather productive because of his red zone prowess and his hands in that capacity. Irv Smith Jr., this probably going to be a flyer guy that someone looks at. He's definitely been replaced by TJ Hockenson. I don't think the Vikings are invested in Irv Smith with the durability issues there. He might have been the next Hockenson coming out of Alabama, but now he's going to be looking for another spot here. So Hockenson clearly going to be a key target going forward, and maybe the second best fantasy option after Justin Jefferson in that passing game for Minnesota. Austin Hooper is a free agent here, so that also means behind him, Jeff Swain, means the Titans could be looking for tight ends. Any of these tight end options, you mentioned Schultz, maybe Engram staying in the division, Hurst staying in the conference, Gesicki looking at, could see the Titans as a good opportunity there, and we'll watch that for sure with Titans wanting to have that key part of the offense back here for whoever's a quarterback, whether it's Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis in 2023. The 49ers backup tight ends, Tyler Kroft, who missed that infamous block against Hassan Reddick early in that game that got Brock Purdy hurt against the Eagles. He's probably not going to be coming back. Neither is Ross Dwelly. He's been an okay guy, but they really don't need to invest too much there at tight end behind George Kittle, as Kittle has been a little bit more durable there. So we'll see if they help him differently in two tight end sets, but that should even help Kittle's production and snap count go up even higher with that situation. The Falcons, Mecole Pruitt really stole a lot of work from Kyle Pitts. Pruitt is now a free agent, so if they go after, say, that receiver to complement Drake London and Pitts, that would really help, and it's not Pruitt to be a bit of a vulture there for Pitts' production, and we saw him do a little bit more when Pitts was hurt, but we want Pitts, when he comes back healthy, to be a big part of what the Falcons do, and you don't want anyone taken away from those TDs that potentially could come here with their remix quarterback situation right now with Desmond Ridder set to start for Atlanta, barring what they do in the draft or potentially trading for Lamar Jackson. So something we're definitely going to watch with the Falcons. Passing game, we can only go up after being so run-heavy and productive in 2022. Thanks again for making Lockdown Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Subscribe to the Lockdown NFL Podcast and get daily conversation on the biggest NFL stories, including Super Bowl 57 and upcoming free agency and the trade market, plus in-depth analysis of the biggest games and NFL key predictions. You'll get that for the game the Sunday, this Friday, and on Monday, local insiders from the Eagles and Chiefs will break down what happened over the weekend with the game-to-game episode for you. Lockdown NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you tomorrow as we break down the matchup of Super Bowl 57 with prediction and a breakdown of the position success here on Sunday.